Hasn't come on yet.
Okay, I'm going to go mute. I'm driving.
Driving. I thought I saw I could tell.
Okay.
I'll tell.
Good evening.
Good evening. It's on mute right now.
No, Miles is on, but she's muted because she's on the road. She's driving.
Okay. Then we can begin.
Okay.
We're in class 27C. And we're redoing the first Zivugin, which is chapter 26, section 3. We did this in the last week, a few weeks ago, and it's very complicated, and we needed some time to absorb what we had studied then and now to redo it. So I'll start with L'shem Yehud. And feel free to answer or ask any questions as we go. L'shem Yehud Kud Shabar Yehu Ishkinte Bid Hilur Himud Hilud Hilur Himud Le'akta L'shem Yudhe Bavavhe V'yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah V'yehino Amadonai Eloheinu Alena Maseya Deno Kanane, Alena Maseya Deno Kananehu. Now we will explain these five levels. The first level, which is the most elevated Zivug of them all, is that of Israel with Rachel. Unlike the other Zivugim, it has two levels within the true Yesod of Israel, which joins with Rachel. There are five chasadim and five givurot that flow from the mochin of Ima, and chasadim and givurot from the mochin of Abba. For the yesod of Abba is clothed within Zeranpin, emanating light and reaching as far down as the end of the yesod of Zeranpin. Hence, there are 10 Givurot, 5 from Abba and 5 from Ima, and they represent the level of the 10 martyrs, whose souls were enclosed within these drops. The 5 Givurot of Abba, expressed as Rabbi Akiva, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshaveb HaSofer, Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, the Kohen Gadol, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, it would seem to me that this is the actual order, since Rabbi Akiva was the chesed within the Givurot. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel was the Givurot of the Givurot, etc. The 10 martyrs were executed by the Romans after the destruction of the Second Temple. It should not surprise you that Rabbi Akiva's soul was from the source of Cain, which was Ima, as mentioned elsewhere in a previous chapter, and that the clothing of his soul was from Abba. This is not problematic for the reason that we mentioned elsewhere in a previous chapter when discussing how the chasadim of Ima can clothe the yesod of Abba and called the Givurot of Abba. Furthermore, within Yesod, everything becomes intermingled, which is why Joseph could be close to all the tribes, since he was from the level of Yesod. The rest of the clothing of the souls were for the five remaining martyrs from the five Givorot of Ima. Since the 10 martyrs were clothed in the level of Givorot and Dinim, judgments, they needed to be killed because the Klipot adhere strongest to Givorot, and especially when from wasted seed as great as these. The 10 Chasadim of Abba and Ima were the 10 garments for the souls of the 10 students of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Mentioned in the Holy Idra Rabba and the Sefer HaTikunim, the Book of Rectifications, they were his son, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yitzhak, etc. Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Chaim Vital, says, this requires investigation, since other than the Rashbi himself, there were only 9 students, as mentioned at the beginning of the Idra Rabba. It was taught that the colleagues of Rabbi Shimon were before him, and they were Rabbi Eleazar, his son, Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi Bar Yaakov, Rabbi Yitzhak, Rabbi Hiskia Bar Rav, Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yesha, etc. Furthermore, at the end of the Idra, it says, Rabbi Shimon told them, we are the 7 eyes of God, as it says, these 7, the eyes of God. Rabbi Abba said, we are 6 candles who get their light from the 7th. You are the 7th of them all. And that was after 3 of them had already died, which clearly indicates that there were only 9. If you want to say that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was the 10th, it can't be, since the Rashbi himself was on the level of Yesod and not included in the 10 Chasadim. Perhaps we can say that there were 8 when Rabbi Yesa, the small, joined them. And there is proof that Rabbi Yesa completed the number of 10 aside from the Rashbi. Since they were on the level of the Chasadim, they did not have to be killed because the Klipot were not strongly connected to them. However, the 3 that died mentioned in the Holy Idra Rabba, Rabbi Yossi Bar Yaakov, Rabbi Hiskia, and Rabbi Yesa, were on the level of the 3 revealed Chasadim of Ima that emanated light into the Tiferet, the Netzach, and the Hod of Zerantin. Thus they ascended above to give off light to Zerantin, as we know. The upper 2 are hidden. When Tzadikim die, they awaken the Mayim Nukvim, returning the light from below to above. This activates the Partsufim to unite. 10 entered the barn to learn with Rabbi Shimon. Only 7 left. Their souls were elevated and powerfully connected above through listening to Rabbi Shimon. They departed in an intense state of rapture, causing a great unification above. This was the ultimate tikkun of their souls. Rashbi was the level of Yesod from which the 10 drops came out, and he therefore had to teach them Torah and rectify them. However, the 10 martyrs from the Givorot did not have a specific teacher for all of them, for the reason explained regarding the secret of Tefillin, according to the opinion of the Rabbeinu Tam, on the verse, one who trusts in Hashem will be surrounded by chesed. The reason discussed there is that with respect to the chasadim of Abba, they do not stand in the yesod of Abba, since it is a very narrow place. Therefore, they go out and surround yesod from without, which means that the Hasadim of Abba stand with the Yesod of Ima and clothe the Yesod of Abba. Unlike the Givorot, which lack unification, whether in Yesod of Abba or Ima. Therefore, it was not possible to establish one teacher for all of them, for there is no one Yesod unique to all of them who could teach them. Yesod is the point that manifests the light of a partsuf outside, and so expresses through a teacher who gives his knowledge. Ahava, love, comes from the root yahev, to give. It is a motion of uniting in oneness. For this reason, chasadim work together in a unified way and are devoted to a single yesod, unlike the givorot, whose nature is to break apart. From what my teacher once answered, I could see that this was not really the reason. For I once asked him regarding this, suggesting that two teachers could have existed corresponding to the two Yesodot. But he wouldn't answer me, seemingly because he did not want to reveal everything regarding this matter, though I don't know why. Heaven allows certain secrets to be revealed and others not. And I am adding, from Rabbi Berg, I learned that there are items of Torah that need to be revealed by specific souls. In fact, every soul has a new chidush, a Torah to reveal. When that needs to be revealed to the world, it also is when that soul will need that action of a revealing his or her chidush to achieve its correction, its tikkun. Since the 10 students of Rashbi were from the level of the Hasadim, had an excellent zivug, Israel with Rachel, all the secrets of Torah could be revealed to them without the need for any suffering. This will not be the case again until the generation of Mashiach, as mentioned in the Zohar in many places. My commentary. The above section is very complex and needs the student to have a strong familiarity with the vocabulary of Kabbalah. Generally, there are five chasadim that get transferred down the five sefirot of Chesed, Gevura, Tiferet, Netzach, and Hod into Yesod, where they accumulate. This comes from the right column. The same thing happens from the left column. It does not happen in the central column, since the central column is composed of half right and half left. The mirror happens from the Givurot. Thus, there is a Chesed of Givurah and a Givurah of Chesed. And this is how 10 of each, Chesed and Givurah, find their way into Yesod. On Hoshana Rabbah, we use five aravot, five willow branches, which are left column, to break the five givorot connected to the five final letters that are related to preparing for the year ahead. The majority is not taught or well understood by anybody except the Kabbalist, and that is why the commentary by Rabbi Auerbach is so difficult for us today. That is the end of the section, chapter 26, section 3. Are there questions? Chapter 26, section 4, which is Zivugin 2 and 3. Zivug 2. There is Yaakov with
Hello. It's not a question, but even rereading it this time, I just find it very hard to understand. But I understand, or to a degree, I was able to outline it the last time we did the class with the different voogs, you know, because they related so much to me to correlate with the prayer times. So I don't know. I guess I just have to keep going over and reread that section that you just read, because I still found it hard to keep my attention on it.
Well, that's an indication that it's part of the correction, and you have to struggle with it.
Okay. Well, see, I also have been on for 2 hours with support help from my printer, so I'm kind of brain drained. But
let me give you some help.
Okay.
Maybe it'll help. Maybe it won't. But you have we have this midrash about the 10 martyrs, and I don't know if you've ever read the full 10 martyrs, the full midrash.
Yes, because it used to be part of our Yom Kippur service in the afternoon, and many times I was given the whole 10 to read. So yes,
okay.
I do know about that. I know the midrash about Joseph spilling, you know, the 10 drops of seed, and so that part I understand.
Those 10 drops of seed entered the klipot.
Okay.
And they're very high level souls.
Because of Joseph.
And those 10, because Joseph is a high level, he is the soul.
Right.
So when he spills these 10 drops, these are souls attached to those drops. Now, the highest soul ever is Cain. He is the firstborn, and he is the left shoulder of Adam.
All right. Okay.
And his reincarnation for the third time, actually the fourth time, is Rabbi Akiva. But his soul is coming from the left shoulder of Adam. All 10 of the martyrs are coming from the left shoulder of Adam.
And now, that was why they had to die. Is that why they had to die?
You broke up, so ask again.
I said, is that the reason they had to die? Because they were from the side of Givarot.
That is what was said in this section. That's correct.
Right. Okay. I'm with you so far. Thank you. Keep going.
Why does Givarot have to die? Why do souls from the left column have to die? Why does any children that come out of the left column, that come out of Cain, have to experience death? Why do you think that is?
Well, because that's there to Cain to correct, to be able to move into the center column, I guess. You want to come, you know, there's a voog of Chesed and Givarot.
No. No, they don't have to move.
Okay.
They don't have to die to move into the central column. They have to die because they experienced the killing of Abel.
Oh.
And that's still true today. Anyone who's following their route, the soul route, back to Rabbi Akiva or any of the 10 martyrs, that person has to die in order to correct the death of Abel.
Okay.
Now, see, when we talk about how Yitro and Moses corrected the killing of Cain and Abel, it's not all of the correction. It's part of the correction. If Hashem gave equivalent tikkun for the negative actions a person does, the person could not handle it. So Hashem, in his mercy, breaks the tikkun into pieces. So what this section was saying is that the 10 martyrs are coming from the left column. They're coming from the root of Cain. But Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is opposite. He's coming from Chesed. And his students are coming from Chesed. And so the teacher of Rabbi Shimon was Rabbi Akiva. So the Gevura judgment is teaching Chesed.
Mm-hmm.
This is creating the balance of the central column.
Mm-hmm.
The Gevurot souls needed to die. The Chasadim souls did not need to die, they needed to learn. But when you learn, when you rise to a higher level, it's a form of death. Because you lose all of the level below you. As you rise to the higher level, you have to lose everything that you've learned. And that fall allows you to rise higher. All of this that I'm describing to you, you've heard adages about. You've heard me say it, you've heard other people say it, but you're not applying it. And that's where your misunderstanding is coming.
Okay.
You're looking at all of this information intellectually. And that's not what the teachings are about. The teachings are about utilizing them in your life, applying them in your life. It is not easy. How do you remember 613 spiritual laws and apply them to every situation? That's what Kabbalists do. That's why I refuse to say I'm a Kabbalist. I'm a student of Kabbalah. What is the section teaching us? First off, you have to recognize that Rabbi Auerbach's commentary is intellectual. And so, if it's intellectual, how do you unify that with your emotions? That's how you will understand this section.
Okay, another question. If you
Please.
Were a young mother, I'm assuming you're finished, but maybe you're not.
I was finished.
Okay. If you were a young mother, would you avoid naming your child Gabriel or Gabriella because it's so much like the root of Gavarot? And give them a more positive name? attended toward Chesed rather than Gevurot?
Why does a soul get a name? Do you really think the mother or the father or the two of them or the grandparents have any role in naming the soul?
Yeah.
What does the adult say? What are we taught? The person who gives the name at that moment is given Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit, to be able to see the soul of the baby and to give the name that is appropriate. So the question you're asking implies that people name the babies, but they don't. They just reflect the name that is given. Okay, now let's talk about, except for 9 months, the parents are talking about what should we name this boy if it's a boy, or this girl if it's a girl. And we're taught that the soul can actually be changed. If the sonogram says it's a boy, it can actually be born a girl. But the parents who've seen that sonogram are only talking about boys' names. So what do? They're still given the insight, the Ruach HaKodesh, so they name the baby the appropriate name. So why do we think that we're so powerful that we can name the baby what we want? And people will name the baby after a sick grandmother who died of some disease, or a sick grandfather who died of some disease. They don't realize that when they do that, they're attaching the tikkun of that sick grandparent to the child, because the grandparent didn't complete their tikkun. So they've given the authorization for, the Bet Din has given the authorization for that child to be given that part of that tikkun to complete it, so that the grandparent's soul doesn't have to come back into the world. If the grandchild achieves the tikkun, the grandparent never has to complete it, because they're from the same root of Adam. The root of their soul is from the same place in Adam. My answer doesn't come across as judgmental or harsh with respect to the question. The question is an honest question that people have, because people are not thinking in terms of the spiritual causes. They're thinking that they control what a baby is named. But there is nothing in our control except our reactions, whether to allow them to proceed or to stop them. That is the only thing we can control. And that's the only thing that removes bread of shame. All of this advanced reincarnation learning, like close to 200 hours of it, all of this learning is for one purpose: to remove our egos and to recognize that Hashem is in control of every aspect of our lives, except what will be our reaction. And even not what will be our reaction, but what will we do with our reaction?
Well, I guess what I was thinking was if I was still childbearing age and I had a girl, I just would avoid naming her Gabriella because the root is so close to Gavirote. And that's, you know, that was really my question. I can't judge somebody else how they would name their child, you know, but just knowing that knowledge and meaning of words and names would cause me to be very careful in selecting a child's name, even more so than I did when I was young and had my own children. I at least did read the Bible and you know, tried to give my children names that were biblically related.
That is what we are supposed to do. But why were you had? Why did you have the thought that you wouldn't name the child Gabriella? I agree with you. You want to avoid naming a child Gabriella. You want to avoid naming a child's judgment or connecting it to judgment in the, through its name.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I know it. I knew it meant strength, but I didn't know it meant, you know, I know now as far as after studying Kabbalah that
it
has to do
strength,
with judgment.
It means power, it means judgment, it means so many other things. It means limitation, it means separation, it means lots of different things. But what is the... The child, the soul that is drawn, comes from the unity of the consciousness of the two parents at the moment of conception. Without getting into particulars, because I don't think it's appropriate, but let me describe an event in a marriage where the couple has just had a really strong argument, but they've made up. But only one side is made up. The other side is still angry. Don't you think that that soul needs, that they draw, that soul would probably be named Gabriella? Or Gabrielle, because there's no unity in the two souls. They've made up. They're intimate. One is thinking about the other and trying to, you know, has calmed down and let go of the anger, but the other one hasn't. So there's no true affinity at that moment. Is it wrong that the child was conceived like that? No, of course not. That soul needs to come into the world to achieve its correction. And its correction needs to be named this name. And yes, the child will be a very difficult child to raise. But that doesn't mean that it's not the right thing, the right part of the correction. Remember, the child that's difficult to raise is a correction for the parents.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Should I continue? We only have about 20 minutes left. Okay.
Unless somebody else may have a question. I think someone else came on.
I'll check. If anybody else have a question, I know Malka's driving, so she may not be able to. It's just the two of you.
Oh,
maybe
okay.
Malka.
I thought I heard.
There's a person. I heard it also. It just, we just never know. That person may have gotten on and gotten off. We know. We just don't know until later when I see who called in and when.
I thought maybe it was Brandy. Sometimes she's late.
So section 4 is the Zivugim 2 and 3. Zivug 2 is Yaakov with Rachel. Israel with Rachel is a higher Zivug. Yaakov with Rachel. But how do we relate Yaakov or Israel within the frame of Tiferet? They're both Tiferet. Now, we learn that, but I have forgotten it. I can't verbalize it right now. I just know that we did learn it. I could review it. But that's really the question. To understand this section, we're going to need to understand, how does Yaakov Tiferet relate to Rachel? Remember, these are partsufim that we're using the names. So partsufim means there's 10 sefirot within each of those. When we say Yaakov, we're talking about 10 sefirot, but where is it existing? Is it in Tiferet of Tiferet, or is it in Chesed of Tiferet? Or is it in Bina of Tiferet? Let me continue to read.
Okay.
As is known, there are not as many dinim judgments in Rachel as there are in Leah. And Yaakov is from the emanation of light from the Mohin of Abba within Zeran Pin. So we've got our answer if we just take the time to relate to it. Therefore, only the five chasadim and the five givarot of Abba are in his yesod. The level of this yesod was Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who organized the Mishnah, and whose students, Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Yoshia Bar Kapora, Levi Bar Sisi, Rabbi Chaninya Bar Chama, Rav, and others like them, were the drops of Chesed and Giborah that came out of him. Well, we need to know who these people are. Yehuda Hanasi, I know. The other names I've heard, but I don't know what they say. And if you don't know what they say, you're really not able to utilize the information completely. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was known as the prince, and his tikkun was to authorize the writing of the Talmud, the writing of the Mishnah, taking all the notes from all the different people, having listened to their teachers and making notes for themselves. They brought these notes and explained what they remember their teachers saying. But the teachers were from left side or right side. The teachers were different. And what those notes were different. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi had the tikkun of putting them all together into the Mishnah. And these other people were his compatriots. They lived at the same time. They helped him to do that. They brought their notes and explain their notes to him and to others. And they finally arrived at a consensus. But if you read the Talmud, just as if you read the Zohar, it doesn't follow logic. We move from a halakha to a agadah, to a story. We then go to another story and then to a halakha and back and forth. Why is that? We're not talking a logical process. We're talking the process that works for the mind of man. Zivug 3. According to the ascending order of Zivugim, this is Yaakov with Leah after the Chatzot. And even though Leah has dinim, has judgments, after Chatzot, the dinim becomes sweetened. Furthermore, after Chatzot, Yaakov extends to be the entire length of Zeranpin, which is not the case with the previous Zivug of Yaakov and Rachel. From the yesod of this Zivug, 10 drops come out. 5 chasadim and 5 givurot from Abba. Thus, with respect to these 2 Zivugim, the second Zivug of Yaakov and Rachel and the 3rd Zivug of Yaakov and Leah, after Chatzot, there was no need for them, the souls rooted here, to be killed. Since they were from the Yesod of Yaakov, from the side of Abba, divested of any judgment from Ima. Also within this 3rd Zivug, there is another Zivug. Even though it was not written above, it's called Chadruta de Tzafra, morning darkness. Remember the adage that the darkest is before the dawn. It has more mercy than Chatzot, since it is almost day at that time. When Yaakov and Leah return for another Zivug, as mentioned in the Zohar. From this Zivug, only 2 drops come out, one with 5 chasadim and one with 5 givurot. They are more elevated than the 10 drops that came out from Chatzot, and together they total 12 drops. Now you're getting a hint at why there are 12 tribes. Mm-hmm. Prior to Chatzot, Yaakov and Leah protrude from the chest of Zeranpin upward, as in the case of the Zivug, which will be explained shortly. After Chatzot, they stretch to the entire length of Zeranpin. And therefore, the effect of the first Yesod of Yaakov prior to Chatzot remains, since Yaakov and Leah do not return back to back after Chatzot, because they remain face to face and even extend their presence to the bottom of Zeranpin. Their effect is not canceled out. There are 10 other drops that come out of Yesod before Chatzot, though they don't actually exit until after Chatzot. There are also another 2 alike. This did come out at the time of Kadruta de Safra, and they are included with the first 10 drops, since they are on a higher level than the second 10 drops. Thus, within this 3rd Zivug, there are 4 Zivugim, though altogether they are considered only 1 Zivug. From these come 24 drops, a hint to why there are 24 hours. Each has its own yesod that extends out. Two yesodot before chatzot, and two after chatzot, and one is included in the other. So it is really all one yesod. At the end of this discussion, we will mention who these 24 drops were and who was their teacher. My commentary. What was said in my commentary above also applies. The student needs to understand the relationship of the Sefirot to each other and the process of growth from smallness to largest, which is Katnut to Gadlut. Then the explanation of the Ari will make sense. One can choose to memorize who is who from these relationships, having to do with reincarnation, or one can spend the time to learn this intuitively, like the level of consciousness of the Ari. If one wants to learn to build the remote control, or just push the buttons on the remote control, is what is at stake and what is involved here. That is the end of the section. We will take longer than the 10 minutes we have left to finish section 5, which is Zivugim 4 and 5. So are there any questions?
No, but I certainly appreciate you doing that big explanation for me of the introduction there to the chapter. That helped a lot. I think I was missing the idea that it was the shoulder of Cain. I don't know, somehow I'd forgotten about that. And Cain killed Abel. So all the souls that came from the left shoulder of Cain are going to be linked to that, to Zevirot.
Correct.
And somehow I had missed that it just didn't click. Today, and it did when you explained.
Yeah. And it's normal that it doesn't click. Everybody, remember, we are all together, we are one. But as being apart, not complete, there's no reason we're going to have everything click within us.
Mm-hmm.
But the more that we study it, the more we contemplate it, the more that within our meditation we invite this discussion in to explain itself, the more it will become clear. Are there any other questions? I think Marcos are getting ready to say goodbye. Or maybe she has a question, okay. Whichever.
Right.
You have a good evening, and we'll speak tomorrow.
Okay. I may have an editor question. I don't know. I just have AT&T coming tomorrow. To switch browsers, and it's supposed to take from 8 to 12, so I don't know when I'll get to you, but I may have, which deals with the 10 days, so if I get in trouble, I'll give you a call.
I understand.
Okay, thank you so much. You too.
Bye-bye. Shalom.